This is 100.3 Sound FM, CKMS, Radio Waterloo. This is the Aleem Show with Talkative Aleem here today. So today we have some news stories that we will be covering today. So Michael Hendricks, a server at Kelsey's Restaurant on Ottawa Street, saved a 9-month-old baby on August the 1st, 2016. And Global News did an interview with the family and the server, along with 570 News as well. And I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to play the video and audio of the interview. So just please stand on by and we'll go ahead and we'll share this interview as well. And I'm going to read some good news stories, some events that are happening within your community, as well as your weather forecast as well. And then we'll also play the Jane Elliott interview, which will be about 1 hour and 3 minutes long. I will see if I can cover all of that for my entire show today. Other than that, let's rock and roll. Now, there will be an advertisement here, so...
A heartfelt thank you between strangers. Happened was recently the most terrifying moment that you possibly experienced.
Was out for lunch with a friend when her 9-month-old baby began to struggle, with Michael Hendricks looking on.
And in my head, I was standing beside her. Her friend stood up and said, "Oh my goodness, you know, it's choking. Someone call 911.
That's when everyone's instincts kicked into high gear. Mom began hitting her baby's back when she saw he wasn't breathing.
I panicked. I was hysterical. I kept hitting him in the back. Nothing was working. And I don't even remember anything after that.
Her waiter, also a fitness instructor, teacher, and a father himself, knew he had to step in.
The next thing I knew, Michael was there, and I just passed Kyle to him. We didn't exchange words or anything. I just knew this man could save Kyle.
I just kept on thinking in my mind, there's no way this child is going to go, like, while I'm working. There's just absolutely no way, and that's all I kept on thinking.
What felt like an eternity was only a few moments, but the food eventually shot out of the baby's mouth, allowing mom to take a breath as well.
He let out a cry, which was the best sound in the world.
Hendricks isn't looking for recognition. He's just glad baby Kyle now has a clean bill of health. His mom, meanwhile, wants him to know she owes him the world.
They seem like a couple in love, newly married with a newborn baby.
So there you have it. That was what we say. That was Carly Walters and Michael Hendricks talking about what happened while their 9-month-old baby was choking. Now, her friend, Melissa Bell, I asked her a question about what can communities do to be more kind to one another? What recommendations do you provide? And she writes, "When I yelled for help and for someone to call 911, the other patrons simply sat and stared at me like I was crazy, and no one reached for their phones. We are so suspicious of everyone. There is a stranger. I think we could mend those bridges by simply saying hello to people you pass on the street. We're so wrapped in our own lives and stresses that someone's accidentally bumping into you is a personal insult, and so often the reaction is anger. Let's reconnect to those around us by being polite and saying hi." And I appreciate her taking the time to mention that to me. And I appreciate her advising that to me as well. Now, since I am going to go ahead, I am going to continue with our kind stories. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play a Say Hi song as well. So I do apologize for some of the technical difficulties on this. We're just going to go ahead and we're just going to get this all looked at here. So just bear with me here and I'm just going to play this song. So there you have it. I suggest everyone to go to the Facebook page, say hi, and like this page. This page talks about how we can all say hi to one another. Now, the 10th annual Say Hi Day is on September 22nd, 2016. And I just want to remind everyone that please go ahead and say hi to your neighbors and to members of your school community as well. Also as well, if you want to be part of the Waterloo Region Crime Prevention Council, please go ahead and go to Crime Prevention Council. Go into preventingcrime.ca and you'll be able to get involved with the Waterloo Region Crime Prevention Council. I am part of this council myself. And hopefully I can go and be able to speak at the University of Waterloo and go and say hi to other people as well. I mean, the only thing I gotta say here is I do want to go and inspire our university students as well as our elementary and high school students. Please go out and say hi as well. And also, the other thing I want to say as well here is think before you post. Think promotes respectful and responsible digital citizenship through positive use of social media. Before you text, tweet, or post to social media sites, ask yourself if what you are sending is true, helpful, inspiring, necessary, kind. Respect yourself and respect others. I just want to give people a reminder on that today. And if you do need to speak to someone, they have the following departments that people can call as well. So you have your Here 24/7, Waterloo Region Dufferin Addiction, Mental Health, and Crisis Services. That's 1-844-437-3247. You also have your kids' help phone, which is 1-800-668-6868. Waterloo Region Suicide Prevention Council. They can be reached at... I'm just going to pull this up here. Well, you can just go into wrspc.ca and you'll be able to find that contact information there. And there's also Your Life Counts as well. And that's another organization as well. And where you can contact them, I have that right here. So you can contact them at 289-820-5777. Or if you want to save on those long distance charges, you can go and you can just type in your name, your email, your subject, and your message with a contact number, and you should get a contact back. And that's all I wanted to say about that today. Now, there's some good news stories that I wanted to share as well. And this is the one we were talking about one time when I interviewed, Fire Chief Bruce Montone. Boy spent years donating thousands of smoke detectors to families in need. And the article goes as follows. When Hector Montoya was only 9 years old, he happened to see one of the many horror stories regularly broadcasted on the news. A little girl's parents have perished in a house fire. Since he was confused as to why the family didn't have a smoke detector, his grandmother simply said that some people do and some people don't. That wasn't a good enough reason for Hector, so instead he used the $300 stashed away in his savings account for a new PlayStation 4. The boy spent the money on smoke detectors. Now, 11-year-old Hector has donated 6,425 smoke detectors to families across Texas. After his most recent contribution of 125 detectors to the DeSoto Fire Department on Wednesday, the boy honored his generosity in a ceremony featuring local firefighters, his family, and the city mayor. The donations will be distributed throughout nearby seniors' homes in need. Hector's compassionate actions made sense considering his dreams of one day becoming a firefighter himself. We have a fire academy here. We're giving him a scholarship for the academy. He's given so much, and we're going to give a little back to him, DeSoto Fire Rescue Chief Jerry Duffield told Inside Edition. A smoke detector wakes up families, gets them outside, saves their lives. Not only is Hector saving the lives of these folks who wake up and hear the alarm, he's also saving the lives of the firefighters who are first to respond to a scene, having to make a tough decision about sending people in. There's a lot of layers of what he's done. So I want to thank Hector Montoya for his generosity. I also want to thank Michael Hendricks for saving the baby of the 9-month-old and of Carly Walters. I believe, yes, what was the name? Just 1 second here. Just want to make sure I got this right. Carly Walters, yes, so that's right. So now what I'm going to talk about is the weather. So today's weather is going to, and this is provided by Environment Canada. Today is going to be sunny, becoming a mix of sun and cloud this afternoon. Winds becoming southwest at 20 kilometers this afternoon. High 31, humidex 33, UV index 9 or very high. Tonight, partly cloudy. Low 20. Wednesday will be sunny, high 33, humidex 40. Wednesday night will be cloudy periods with a low of 21. Thursday will be a mix of sun and cloud and a high of 33. At nighttime, it will be cloudy periods on Thursday night, the high of 21. And Friday is going to be a mix of sun and cloud with 40% chance of showers, high 33. And Friday night will be cloudy periods with 40% chance of showers, low 20. And then there'll be some relief starting as of the next week. Saturday will be a mix of sun and cloud with 40% chance of showers, high of 29. Saturday night will be cloudy periods with 30% chance of showers, low 17. Sunday will be a mix of sun and cloud with 30% chance of showers, high 24. Sunday night will be cloudy periods with 30% chance of showers, low 15. And then this is where I was saying Sunday and Monday will be the relief from the heat and humidity. And then Monday, August 15th, will be a mix of sun and cloud, high 25. Right now, at Region of Waterloo International Airport, is 28 degrees Celsius. And the humidex is 32. This is Aleem Nathu from the Aleem Show here. Just want to say that you're listening to 100.3 Sound FM, CKMS Radio Waterloo. I'm going to go ahead and we're going to play a song. And the song that we are going to play is Information Society, What's on Your Mind, on 100.3 Sound FM, CKMS Radio Waterloo. See, that was information. And that was Information Society, What's on Your Mind? At 100.3 Sound FM, CKMS Radio Waterloo. And I know last week I was supposed to play the official Jane Elliott interview. Unfortunately, I apologize. I completely forgot to play this interview. It's already been put up as of July 27, 2016, when I did the interview. Now, what I will do here is I will go ahead and I will play this interview. And I will play it till around 1 o'clock. And then we'll take a break. And then we'll have a music break. And then we'll go and then we'll go ahead and then we'll continue after that music break. And then we'll play on and off from there as well. But you can find this on soundfm.ca. Just go into the search column and write the official Jane Elliott interview. And then you'll be able to pull that up from there. And prepare to be amazed. This is 100.3 Sound FM, CKMS, Radio Waterloo.
From 100.3 Sound FM, CKMS, Radio Waterloo, I'm here to do an interview for 12 o'clock.
Okay.
And thank you so much for taking the time to join us here today there, Jane. I really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you asking me to. Now
it's
worth your time.
I bet it will be, for sure. Now, I did have one of my viewers ask me a question. So some of these questions are from our viewers as well as myself. So one of the questions that one of my viewers asked was, how would you characterize the state of race relations in the U.S. today?
Absolutely dreadful. Hello.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm horrified too. Like, I know what Donald Trump. The one thing I'm very.
I got a guess coming in, but I can make the match first.
Okay, that's fine. Yes. I just wanted to mention here that I'm very frustrated with Donald Trump and the American political system, as well as our own Canadian political system, with the way that minorities have actually been treated over the years. In fact, I was also going to make a mention here that if tensions are still high after so many years, what do you think drives this unresolved conflict with so much endless energy against racism, discrimination, homophobia, ignorance, all that stuff?
We have these kids from the age in the United States, we have them from the age of 3 to the age of 18. Now, from the age of 3 to 18,
I totally understand for sure. It's like when it comes to the education, I have to say that one of the things that when I was a student in school was they didn't really touch a lot on racism. Like, they didn't really touch on that as much. And I feel like a lot of the education is put by folks that are of non-minority race. In fact, I was watching one of your Oprah documentary series, and every person's great-great-great-great-great-parent was actually black. I heard that on Oprah.
That's right, and you need to realize that racism is part of the curriculum. When I was in college, we were told, do not teach in opposition to local mores. The people who are paying your help, are you still there?
I'm still there, yes.
Okay, the people who are paying your wages through their taxes have the right to expect their students to learn what they want them to learn. So what he was saying is, if you're teaching in a racist community, you do not teach in opposition to racism. That's bad education. We've done a bad job of educating educators. Unfortunately, we don't educate educators. We condition teachers.
Oh, okay.
Teachers, yeah, how to get these kids to ready to pass the test. But we don't. We teach the 3 R's of reason. We teach 3 R's of reading, writing, and arithmetic. We forget to teach the 3 R's of reason, rights, and responsibility. And you do that for 13 years, and then.
storm. And I know you were asking students about, like, you know, are the blue-eyed students better than the brown-eyed students? Like, you were teaching these exercises, and, you know, and I remembered one of the students said that they're being made fun of for having brown eyes. And I was watching that documentary. Now, I really like the way that you actually teach the students. I mean, you know, I wish we had more educators like yourselves on that as well. Now, did you have any backlash from other teachers or staff when you actually did these exercises?
I went down to the teaching lounge the first time I did the exercise. I was just sick at what my students were doing to one another. So I went down to the teacher's lounge at noon to share with the other two third grade teachers what was going on in my classroom the day after Martin Luther King Jr. was killed. When I finished telling them, there were a number of teachers in the lounge, including the other two third grade teachers. When I finished telling them what was going on, the younger of the two said, and she was about 54, I guess, I don't know how you have time for all that extra stuff. It's all I can do is teach reading, writing, and arithmetic. Well, she hadn't taught reading, writing, and arithmetic yet, as far as I can see. She might as well have been doing the extra stuff. The other one said, over 60 years old, had been molding young minds for over 30 years. And she said on the day Martin Luther King Jr. was killed. I don't know why you're doing that. I thought it was about time somebody shot that son of a bitch. No teacher frowned. No teacher said, hell, how could you say anything like that? Every one of those teachers either smiled or laughed and nodded because she evidently had expressed their feelings perfectly, and as the most senior member of the group, she had the most right to do so.
Oh, absolutely, and I was also going to say as well that when I know right now with the province of Ontario, Canada's education system, there was, I think around 2012, teachers were going on strike for, like, collective bargaining rights, and they were refusing to do any extracurricular activities and stuff like that, and, you know, I feel as though that our school system needs teachers like yourself.
Well, if you want to upset the system, then shut the system down. I'm a hard teacher for insecure principals and superintendents, you know all that. Secure principals and superintendents, be they male or female, have no problem with me.
Absolutely, and I have to say that what I found myself that when it comes to like, you know, ignorance and discrimination and everything is that, I mean, you know, we all have a part to play in trying to combat that as well. Now, I also wanted to ask as well that I also heard that yesterday Commissioner William Bratton is stepping down from the NYPD. Now, a number of NYPD officers, most of the minorities, questioned the stop and frisk program and how they had arrest and summons quotas, and 12 of the officers filed lawsuits. Now, what advice do you have for the NYPD Police Department to stop the stop and frisk program since it's unconstitutional by the state since 2010?
Well, they can have stop and frisk without having it be racially profiled. But it's racial profiling. You know what? I know what they know, but we don't want to admit. We've got to retrain the people who are in law enforcement in this country. We've got to, if it would all just read Robert Wong Sussman's book, The Myth of Race, people would understand how badly they have been misled for 500 years and would talk themselves out of going along with this nonsense, just as they have talked themselves into going along with this nonsense. It's nonsense. There's only one race. We don't have 3 or 4 or 5 different races on the face of the earth. There's only one. But we have lived with Miss Smith for 500 years. It is as ridiculous as thinking that the sun is a god in a golden chariot that flies across the sky every morning. It makes no sense. And if you read Sussman's book, if you had any doubt about it before, you won't have again. We need to retrain.
The Myth of Race.
Yeah, The Myth, M-Y-T-H of Race. And the author's name is Robert Walls, W-A-L-D, Sussman, S-U-S-S-M-A-N.
Robert Wald Sussman.
Yeah, you can argue with it, but you can't argue with it because it makes good sense. I would advise every person that is hearing this radio program to get a copy of that book and read it. And if you don't want to read the little thing, if you don't want to invest in the books, just turn to the last paragraph of the last chapter in that book and read that paragraph.
Now, is this book all... No, I'm sorry to interrupt. I was just going to ask, is this book also available on Google Books?
I haven't looked on Google Books. I suppose it is. I'm sure it's available on Amazon. I don't know. But however you have to get the book.
Exactly.
Go to the bookstore and stand there. I see people do this all the time. And just read the last paragraph in the last chapter.
And I 100% agree with that. I should look into that book myself as well. And I was also going to ask as well, because I know I've had some viewers that have complained to me about being victims of discrimination. And I wanted to ask that, what kind of proof does one need to claim discrimination? Because I know in Canada and the UK, it's more subtle forms of discrimination. So if someone's a victim of it, whether in the school system, which I've been a victim of it too in the school system myself, or let's say you're out in the community or whatever, you've been a victim of a hate crime or something, what kind of proof, because they always ask for proof.
Well, in this country, you pass legislation that says you have to prove a racist or sexist or atheist contempt in order to win a lawsuit against someone for that kind of behavior. Now, you can't know what's in a person's mind, but if you have to know what's in their mind in order to win a lawsuit, obviously there's no sense filing, because you can't know what's in a person's mind. You can only know what happened. What you have to do is document what happened, not what you think happened, not what you think the person may have been thinking, but what you saw happen, what you experienced, and hopefully have someone there who witnessed the whole thing. You write down exactly what happened, have that witness sign it, and then if you get several of those, then you can take those and use them as evidence.
Absolutely, and I...
Document this stuff. You can't just say, he doesn't like me because I'm black. Number one, he doesn't like me because I'm Navy. He doesn't like me because I'm yellow. You know, no, that's not the reason people don't like you. We don't like you because of their ignorance. But every time a person of color says, that person doesn't like me because of my color, the person of color is taking responsibility for being a person of color. Instead of forcing the person who doesn't like them, make that person take the responsibility for their ignorance about skin color.
I totally agree, and also as well, I know in Ontario, we have what we call the Human Rights Commission, where if anybody has been discriminated, and it only applies to like goods or services or employment or anything of that nature, people can actually go to the Ontario Human Rights Commission website and file a complaint, and they can have access to a lawyer from there at no charge.
And does it work?
And to be truthful, it depends. I one time called an Ontario Human Rights Commission person, and they ended up saying that the cases do take a long time. So in that case here, sometimes they'll say to file it, sometimes they'll say not to file it. So I will say that from what I've heard, it does work, but at the same time, I don't really know because that's the other person's perspective.
And what they'll do many times what they do is draw it out for so long that you finally just give up. And that's what they're depending on.
And why do they do that?
Yeah, well, because they don't want to sell these cases. In many cases, they don't want to sell the cases. They don't want to get into that particular bucket of worms. And I can understand that. Because if they sell constantly for one victim, they're opening up a Pandora's box because then all the others who have been subjected something is worth working for white folks. In this country, in the United States, white folks think the system is working for them. But right now, they're scared to death because it's perfectly obvious that within 30 years, white people will have become an American minority in the United States of America. In fact, Ben Rottenberg, who was an advisor to President of the United States and a member of the American Enterprise Institute, wrote a book called The Birth Dirt.
The Birth Dirt.
Yes, in which he says that the main problem confronting the United States today is that there are too few white babies being born in this country now. If we don't solve this problem and do it quickly, white people will be in the minority and this will no longer be a white man's land. Now just think about the sexism, the ageism, the racism, the ugliness of that statement. He says there are three things we can do to solve this problem. Number one, we can hear them. And babies have they been doing most European nations for years. Then he said, the reason is was not mine. Unfortunately, the majority of those white we have people of all colors not to have babies. We have people of all colors to have babies, so that won't solve the problem. And the majority of those wanting to have babies would not be white. So we can't do that. That would increase the number of women of color of babies other than white color groups. He said the second thing we could do is increase the number of legal immigrants allowed into this country every year. Then he says, unfortunately, the majority of those wanting to come to this country today are people of color, so we don't want to do that. Take Donald Trump and his immigration policies. The third thing he says we could do is remember that 60% of the fetuses that are aborted every year in this country are whites. If we could keep that 60% alive, that would solve our birth dearth. Now, does that sound racist to you?
Yes, it does.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this man was an advisor to presidents of the United States.
And what was his name?
The right to life in this country, the right to life movement. The right to life movement in this country is about the right to white life.
I agree. I mean, the one thing is that, you know, for myself, is I can give an example of something I faced. When I was living in Windsor, Ontario, Canada, one time I asked a girl out. And when I asked her out, what she said to me was, I don't date your kind.
She said what?
That's what she said, I don't date your kind.
Okay.
And it's like, no, the girl was actually Caucasian. She was Italian and Irish.
And what are you?
I'm actually Indian and African.
She doesn't date your kind. In other words, she doesn't date the people that she knows are smarter than she is and have more experiences. Is that what she's telling you?
I guess so, yeah, probably. I mean, yeah, that's good.
You need to take it. You need to say, I'm sorry. You have poor taste. You have my sympathy.
Exactly. You know, maybe next time I'll say that to someone. I mean, the one thing is that most of my ex-girlfriends have actually been white, and I have to tell you one thing is, you know what, I don't look at it through their color of their skin, but the content of their character, like Martin Luther King Jr. said.
I'm sorry, but subconsciously you are looking at the color of their skin. And if you aren't, you haven't been listening for the last, how old are you?
I'm 27.
You haven't been listening for the last 27 years. Because you have been conditioned to the myth of white superiority, just as white males and females have been conditioned to the myth of white superiority in my country, and if it happens in my country, it's going to happen in your country within 15 minutes. And it happens in this country all the time. The standards of beauty in the United States of America have for 500 years been for women have been tall, thin, leggy, big breasts, brown hair, pale skin and blue eyes. And we start back creatively in this country. Those are the standards of beauty that are projected onto people on a minute-by-minute basis. I don't know how anyone can just ignore that. I don't think you can.
No, it can't be ignored. In fact, where I live right now, I have to say that the majority of students at the University of Waterloo are of international students and they're of minorities. And one of the things that a former instructor told me was that when he taught mathematics, he said the white students were quite discriminatory to the Asian students due to the fact that they excelled in this area. Now, I wanted to ask as well, because this brought a question to me, is how can inclusion be addressed to ensure that all students are included? And what kind of training do you recommend staff members go through to better educate themselves about this area of exclusion, because it happens a lot?
Well, the people who are being excluded know it's happening.
Yeah.
And when they look at the faculty and staff, and don't see anybody who look like themselves, they recognize the fact that this is an institution that isn't inclusive. They look at the people at the top of the organization and if they see only one color group and it's white, they know that the chance of agreement that this isn't an, we can talk inclusion, but what they're doing speaks so loudly that you can't hear what they say.
That's quite true. In fact, I've noticed as well, as a person that when I was a student at Manton College, we had to do an exercise where we were all blindfolded, and we had to go, and we were all taken to the Creations Fine Dining Restaurant at Manton College. We all went there to eat, and we were told that everyone's going to be blindfolded, and you're going to try to eat while you're blind. You're blindfolded, right? You know how with blind people they can't see, right?
Right.
So what this professor did was she blindfolded every student.
Right.
To see what it's like to be blind.
To see what it's like to be black or to see what it's like to be blind.
The way to see that you're blind. Like, I mean, the thing is that the way to live like a blind person.
Okay, but wait a minute. Do you think that people who have no sight, who are blind, don't learn racism?
I'm sorry, what was the question again?
Do you think that a blind person doesn't learn to be a racist?
I think anybody can be a racist. Anyone can.
Absolutely. If it's one of your faculties, you want to be able to use that. We can get you through all your other faculties.
Yes.
So that's a nice exercise.
Yes.
It lets them know how it feels to be a blind person walking into an eating establishment.
Yes.
But it doesn't let them know how it feels not to be allowed into that eating establishment because of the blindness of the people who are working there.
I agree 100%. See, I have to...
They all got in, didn't they?
I'm sorry, what was that?
All the students in that group with the blindfolds on...
Yes.
Got into the restaurant, right?
That's true, yes.
Nobody stood in the door and said, I'm sorry, our tables are full.
That's true, yeah, that's very, very true. That's a very good point.
That's what happens to many Canadians in your country, and that's what happens to people of the wrong color groups in my country on a daily basis.
Absolutely. It's almost like, ever seen that movie, Rush Hour 3?
No.
On Rush Hour 3 one time, they were in Paris, France. Chris Tucker, Jackie Chan, they got in the car and then the cab was like, get out, I don't drive your kind. And he was referring to Chris Tucker because he was black. And then he's like, my kind. And then he was like, well, we don't drive Americans.
Vagina? That's it. She, I had trouble saying that because it sounds like vagina. It's shirt. these First Nations people who were getting their government checks that day. And I bit my tongue because I wanted to get to the restaurant. And my husband was jabbing me in the ribs because he wanted to get there safely. My lawyer kept looking at him, I can't even control her. So we just went along to get along.
That's quite true. In fact, for myself is that, you know what, I have to say that I met once a security guard that worked at St. Clair College, and this gentleman told me, and he's an older fella, just to let you know, he's a lot older than me, but he ended up telling me that anyone who tells you that is not prejudiced, they're lying to you. Yes, and that is quite true. See, I hear all the time that, you know, when I was, I know with Windsor Police, for example, and they have a thing where they say, now we're going to hire a diversity officer to reflect our diversity of the population, but, I mean, to recruit more minorities. It's a good thing. However, does it address the root causes of discrimination in the force? So, I mean, there's two questions to be answered, right?
Are you not hearing that well?
Well, he's saying about, like, how he was saying that, you know, when it comes to, sorry about that, when it comes to building the relationships, for example, he was saying that when it comes to building relationships, that we want to strengthen those relationships. We want to be able to say that to come to policing as a career to minorities. And he was also saying as well that, if I understood his context, which I actually do, is that he will develop training programs for Windsor police officers in the area of anti-racism, anti-discrimination, and cultural diversity. And this man is actually from Trinidad, and his parents, I think, came to Canada in
1948. Okay. So he was saying that in order to decrease the level of racism in the police department, they have to retrain their police officers, but also I would know the people who are hiring police officers.
Yes. Yeah. Well, actually, you were saying about with reducing discrimination, and I know Chief Al Frederick. He was saying as well that when it comes to reducing discrimination, he said that we won't be able to eliminate it entirely. We won't be able to eliminate it into its entirety, but we can raise awareness.
Yeah, well, raising awareness is the first step. But making it difficult to discriminate is the first step. Having psychological consequences for your unacceptable behaviors toward the citizenry that you're hired to protect, that's the first step.
Yes.
You have to see what those unacceptable behaviors and unacceptable words are.
That's true, yeah, exactly.
And then you write them down when they happen and document them, and then say, go to the person who's doing it and say, here's what I wrote down about you this week. These are the 5 things you did this week that are going to turn off people of color other than you. We can afford to have the local citizenry turned off by your attitudes and your behaviors. These behaviors have to stop. They have the right to say and responsibility to say to police officers or the heads of departments. These are the behaviors that we want you to change, and we want to see evidence of change. If these behaviors don't change, you will be saying to us indirectly that you don't like to work for this department.
Exactly, yeah.
I expect to see change. I expect to see measurable change in the next 6 weeks. I'll give you 6 weeks.
Yeah.
But after that, we're going to have another meeting, and if this change hasn't come about, I'll give you 3 more weeks, and then after that, if there's no change, that says to me that you don't like working under these conditions or for this organization. And you'll be happier somewhere else.
Absolutely.
If superintendents and principals would do that with teachers would change their behaviors instantly. And if you think you can't create behavioral change, think about what happens when you've had the same elbow street for years and a police put up a stop sign halfway down that street. What happened to you?
Stop.
They stop. Absolutely. Immediately. They stop. You can create change. You can put stop signs up where undesirable behaviors are being exhibited by people who are paid by your organization. And if they don't stop, that means they don't want to live within that organization and its rules. Does that make sense to you?
No, it doesn't, actually.
It doesn't?
What was that? I'm sorry. What doesn't make sense?
That's what I just said about stopping and behavioral change makes sense to you.
It does. It does, actually. Yes, it does.
Yeah, well, then why aren't we doing it?
Well, the reason we're not doing it is because we're scared of our own power. That's what it is. We don't want to lose our power.
Yeah, well, you see, by the year, in 30 years, you'll be in the same shape that the United States is. And if power depends on acceptance of racism, you're going to lose your power.
That's true, and I think the thing is that I know for myself is, I've noticed that in the last decade, from 2007 until now, 2016, almost one decade, I've noticed that the amount of racism has gotten worse.
I'll tell you what happened in the United States, and what happens in the United States happens in Canada. Instantly. And that's because the South African police force and the Southern members of
Yeah, that is a very racist comment.
Well, yeah, I think I just think so. He's president of the United States. And if it was all right for him to say it, then it's all right for Joe Blow, who works at the local Congress, to say it on the job. And it's all right for the coaches that taught in the school I was teaching in to come to school on Monday morning after having watched Archie Bunker on Saturday night. And say, boy, that Archie Bunker, how he said, and then they went, I wish I'd said that. And it was blatant racism, sexism, ageism, homophobia, ignorance. And he was their hero. It didn't occur to them that Norman Lear wrote that program as a cautionary tale. Here's how not to behave. They thought this was a show that showed all of us how to behave. And that's exactly what some members of the House of Representatives and the Tea Party people have been doing with our president. And it's all right for senators and members of the House of Representatives to behave in those ways. Well, why isn't it all right for teachers to say those things and to do those things and to think those things are right?
I totally agree. I mean, the one thing is that there is a double standard in society. Like, it seems like there's always going to be double standards, and it's a sad thing, because I mean, also as well, there the other double standard I've actually found myself is, like, you know, like, one of the things is that, you know, here in Canada, one of the double standards that I found that's very, very common is, you know, when it comes to men and women and how men and women are treated.
Do you accept that?
I don't.
Well, many women do. What you will accept, you can expect.
Well, the one thing that I don't accept is the fact that, you know, I don't accept when people are sexist towards females, and I also don't accept when women are sexist to men. I think it should be 100% an equal, everything should be 100% equal.
It won't be 100% equal in perception until they are equal in power. And that isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
We're asking the people who have no power not to act like the people who have power act.
Yeah.
So if you want to stop people out of power from acting that way, change the model. Change the way the people who have power behave.
And what ideas would you suggest? Just out of curiosity.
Well, I'm a waitress at the Last Supper, so I see much stuff going on for a long time. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at the world around where we learn nursery rhymes, which were sexist. Oh my God. I'm looking at my religion, in which we saw the pictures of the Holy Family on our Christmas cards.
Yes.
And Mary was always pale-skinned and blue-eyed with blonde hair, and Jesus always looked like a little pilgrim little boy.
Yes.
Well, we all call him the least, the one who raised him the least. And it says in the Bible that Jesus had dingy blue hair and pink bronze. So we say one thing, and we do another. We don't teach the truth. And we have twisted our relationships. Read Naomi Wolf's book, A Little Boy. She wrote about what life was like 10,000 years ago before males took over. There was a time when males and females were seen as equal partners and equal power. I can't remember the name of that book, but you'll look it up and you'll find it. And it's just a remarkable description of how this all happened. The same kinds of things happened to change the power structure 10,000 years ago, as have happened in the last 500 years in this country to change the power where blacks and where white people and other color groups are concerned. It's all about power. We have, if a woman acts like she has power, she's going to be called the B word. Now, for me, the B word is an acronym for being in total control, honey. And every time I am aggressive or assertive, when I'm assertive, I'm called aggressive. When a man is aggressive, he's called assertive. The language says certain things and certain behaviors are respected and expected for
point, because I will say that, you know, personally, I've even told people that, let's say, if a woman is being assertive, she's called aggressive, and if a man is being aggressive, he's called assertive. I agree with that. That makes perfect sense. In fact, I have to say that, you know, a lot of people have called me, a lot of people, like when it comes to the description of my personality, I've had two people tell me in this city, like in Kitchener-Waterloo, and I'm talking, that they're my friends, but also I met these two people on the job. So what these two people told me was that I'm assertive. And I mean, I've had other people tell me I'm not assertive. So I guess I guess there's this varying degree of perception.
But what you have to remember is, what they say about you, what they think about you, doesn't have to affect you. Let me your problem. If I worried the last 6 years about what people were saying and thinking about me, I would have shriveled up and crawled into a hole. If I had allowed them and their opinions and their words to change my behaviors or my belief in the rightness or wrongness of what I was doing, what I was hearing, what I was saying, you don't allow other people and their perception of you to dictate your life.
I agree.
That's what you need to realize. Not everybody is thinking about you. Very few people are thinking about you. Most of them are thinking about themselves. Most of the time you spend thinking about yourself, you don't spend thinking about other people.
Mm-hmm.
But we are constantly, some of us are constantly wondering, what are people going to say about this? What are people thinking about me? Get over it. They aren't thinking about you. Everybody else has their own problems. Get over it. If you ever go back to this, everybody should read the book, The Four Agreements. I can't remember the author's name.
Oh, Don Miguel Ruiz. I have a copy of that book.
That's it. Take nothing personally. Do your best. Be impeccable with your words.
Be respectful with your word, don't take anything personally, always do your best. And there's a fourth one in there, I'll just quickly...
See, but I've always been doing it, like that day before.
The four great...
Take nothing personally, as the most important, as far as I'm concerned. If people are saying, okay, if you don't take it personally, take it, well, they have a problem.
I think don't make assumptions.
Make no assumptions. Don't assume that people are thinking about you because they aren't. Most people aren't thinking about you. They're thinking about how they're going to make enough money to pay the bills this month.
Exactly. I mean, yes. And I have to say that Don Miguel Ruiz wrote, "You only."
Sorry for cutting that off. I promised around 1 o'clock I was going to play a song. I apologize that I went 7 minutes over on my time. I wanted to apologize about that. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to play the song for everyone here. Now, the song that I am going to play is Out of Touch by Hall & Oates. This is 100.3 Sound FM, CKMS, Radio Waterloo. There's just an advertisement, so just bear with me here for about one more second. So there you have it. That was Out of Touch by Hall & Oates. You're listening to 100.3 Sound FM, CKMS Radio Waterloo. Now time for just covering a little bit of events. The events I wanted to cover was as follows. So one of the events I saw was Lucky Stiff is a book and lyrics by Lynn Atherant. Music by Stephen Flaherty, directed by Elizabeth McFowell. And it's a murder throws English shoe salesman Harry Witherspoon into a chaotic adventure, taking his dead uncle on a vacation to Monte Carlo in exchange for a $6 million inheritance. This show will start from September 22nd to October 8th. It's Thursday, Friday, and Saturdays at 8 p.m. at the KWLT Theater, which is the Kitchener-Waterloo Little Theater. Now, also as well, from August the 29th to August 31st, the auditions for Scrooge Macbeth will take into place. That will be from 7 o'clock until 10 o'clock. And also as well, the Mill Cortland Community Center. Fall registration for its programs will start on Thursday, August 18, 2016, from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. And that will be done by the Highland Sterling Community Group. That's on Mill in Cortland, and the Neighborhood Association of Cedar Hill Community Group. And there's a lot of things I did want to talk about these programs as well. So some of these programs that people may be interested in, and I'm just looking at it here as we speak, is they have a games club. Games club will be where you can enjoy various board and card games with family and friends. New to Canada, come out and meet your neighbors. Registration required. This is on Tuesday, September 20th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., which is that's when it starts. And there's no charge for that. That will be on September the 20th. There's also more events that I want to talk about as well. One of the events that I did want to mention here is Cedar Hill Community Group has, on the third Friday of each month from September to June, they have a monthly coffee house. So you can enjoy local talent, neighbors, coffee, and fantastic music. Feel free to bring an instrument and sign up to play, or just enjoy an evening of music. And this is at the Mill Cortland Community Center, 216 Mill Street in Kitchener. And there's also a lot more that's going on here. One of the other things that they have for adult programs is they have knitting, which will start as of September 19th. And this will be from Monday from 1:30 to 3 p.m. That's the knitting. They'll also have the book club on September 12th from 7 till 8:30 p.m. And they're also going to have the downsizing dinners. And that's from Monday 1:30 to 3:30 starting October 17th. And you can go and you can check everything out at www.mcna-hscg.com for more information on that. Now, I also just want to go ahead and cover some information as well that people will need to know. Now, for events that we have here in our community, Her Majesty the Queen Garden Party will be from 2 to 4. And that will be at Victoria Park Island in Kitchener. And this will be the Queen's 90th birthday. This is on Victoria Park Island, August 13, 2016, from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. And the cost is $5 per individual and $10 per family. Tickets to the garden party will be available at the bridge entrance to the island from members of the Kitchener Center Conservative EDA or by calling 519-743-1996. Or emailing queengardenparty@gmail.com. So there's a limited number of tickets available for that as well. I just want to go ahead and just inform people of that as well. Now there's quite a few more that's going on here. Just going to see what kind of movies and music is going on here. So from Thursday, July 14, 2016 to Wednesday, August 24, 2016, they have movies that will be playing as well. This will be at Waterloo Park. This will be at Waterloo Park and Kitchener's Victoria Park. So some of the movies that they'll be playing is as follows. So for more information on up-to-date information about the events, click on more information below. That will be at park, HTTP, parkmovies.ca, /home. And you can find this on kitchener.ca. Just go on the events page. And the movies that we'll be playing will be Zootopia on Thursday, August 11th, and the Peanuts movie on Thursday, August 18th. And that will be at Waterloo Park. And on Victoria Park, Wednesday, August 24th, will be the Angry Birds movie. And this will be live music at 7 o'clock. And at Waterloo Park, it will be at the Banshell area west at the west end of the park. And you'll have free entry with a non-perishable donation of food or funds to the Food Bank of Waterloo Region. Just want to mention that as well. Going to see if there's Club Rex has an event on Friday, August 12th from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. This is children and youth friendly events. That's on 10 King Street West, Kitchener, Ontario, N2G1A3. If you have any questions, it's marketing.volunteer@themuseum.ca. And you'll be able to see all about the time of dinosaurs. And they're bringing their large collection of prehistoric fossils, museum-quality casts, and original pieces for a hands-on presentation of all about dinosaurs. So come on and join these events. There's many more events going on as well. Just continue to keep track by going to kitchener.ca and clicking on the events page. And you'll be able to see a lot about these events as well. Now, they also have the Show and Shine Car Classic Mondays. And that will be at the shop at Highland and Westmount, Part Source parking lot. It will be from Monday, August 15th from 6 p.m. to 8:30. Now, it's now with this being said, this particular Car Classic Mondays have been going on from June 6th until September 19th. So please come on by and have a look at these cars. They're amazing. And if you have any questions, you can always email me at radioaleem@outlook.com or anathoo169@gmail.com. If anyone has any questions about any events, or if they want to go ahead and speak about their own events in this case here. And I just wanted to cover all that. I'm just going to go ahead and we're going to finish up the interview of Jane Elliott. And we'll go from there. This is 100.3 Sound FM, CKMS, Radio Waterloo.
You need a very strong will in order to adapt the four agreements. But if you can begin to live your life with these agreements, the transformation in your life will be amazing. You will see the drama of hell disappear right before your eyes. Instead of living in a drama of hell, you'll be creating a new dream, your personal dream of heaven.
Right, right. And I don't believe in terms of hell and heaven. I believe in terms of comfort and discomfort. You want to be comfortable all your life, but other people and their perceptions of you dictate you how you feel about yourself. That's if you want to be uncomfortable, then they'll be the best. But they won't even know that they've done it, that they're so uncomfortable themselves, that they aren't paying attention to whether to your comfort level.
That's true, and I have to say that, yes, it's comfort or uncomfort, because of what I find with, when it comes to, let's say, for example, you know, for myself is, you know, my parents have told me that, you know, that when it comes to what people think about me and stuff, like, you know, like, let's say if I was not behaving myself or not behaving appropriately, they're like, this person's looking at you, this person is judging you, it's like, I don't care.
If they're judging you, it's because they don't have enough to think about. If they have time to think about you, but they don't have enough on their minds. Anyway, their thoughts aren't the problem. Think what you want to about me. But change your behaviors toward me. It can't be replaced in other ways about me if you choose to. But you better treat me fairly whether you don't like me or not.
Exactly, exactly. Exactly. No, and I totally agree with that. I'm going to end on with this last quote that I wanted to share as well. It's from Don Miguel Ruiz, and he says, when you transform your whole dream, magic just happened in your life. What you need comes to you easily because spirit moves freely through you. This is the mastery of intent, the mastery of spirit, the mastery of love, the mastery of gratitude, the mastery of life. This is the goal of the Tolek. This is the path of personal freedom.
Well, you see, I don't necessarily believe that love is that big deal. I think that justice is a big deal.
I totally agree. Justice is a big deal.
And you don't treat me justly, and we are going to end up loving one another. Because I'm going to treat you justly, and you'll treat me justly.
Exactly. You know what? Everything that people write can be questioned. It's always true. And I mean, I love that. I love it that, you know, that we live in a free and democratic society like Canada and the U.S. where we can challenge or even question one's opinions and talk about it. I love that.
Well, some of us live in a free and democratic society.
Yeah.
Others of us live in the land of the free.
Yeah.
Some of us white folks live in the land of the free.
Yes.
People of color in your country and mine live in the home of the brave.
Yes. So the home of the brave. So I guess, what does that mean, home of the brave?
That means that people of color have to be ready to get out of bed in the morning and walk out the door in the United States of America.
And that's the same thing in Canada too. I feel that way too some days. Like I find when I've looked for jobs, but like right now, I'm not working right now. But what I find is that when I'm looking for work, or like, you know, putting my resumes out, putting myself out there, I feel as though that I have a harder time looking for a job sometimes. And I think it has to do with...
You have a harder time looking for one, but you have a harder time finding one.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, we talk about the United States, talk about the land of free and the home of brave.
Yes.
We have two countries. We have a free country. And we have a country in which people have to be brave. Because we are ruled. We are distributed, created with the lie of white superiority and racism. Until we get over that, we will not truly be in a free country. Only half of us will be free.
Absolutely. It's almost like with our school system in the Waterloo region with their public school system where they came under fire for not having enough minorities in management.
Makes sense.
And this is I think this is like the third largest diverse city and that's still the case. That's pretty sad though.
Absolutely.
Now, have you ever done any exercises in Canada?
Yeah, well, Regina, is Regina in Canada?
Yes, it is. Absolutely, and the one thing is that you did an exercise with the Royal Bank of Canada. Was there any other companies you actually did exercises with or schools in Canada?
No, not the film that we did for whichever film company it was. It was the October after Martin Luther King Jr. person who's going to do the interviews, and that's where you sit. I said, who are they? And he said, those are the people who have come here to interview you. And so I said, this looks like a fair. He said, it is. He took my arm, led me out, sat me on one of the chairs on that desk, and said, folks, are there any questions? This is Jane Elliott. She has come here to talk to you about the exercise she did with her third graders, or who I brought on exercise. Anybody have questions? Practically every one of those people raised their hands and commenced to ask me what in hell I thought I was doing with those poor little white children in Rexville, Iowa. You have to take a look at that interview. And if you can get a copy of it, I'd like to have a copy of it.
Or you'd like to have a copy of it if I can find it.
Yeah, if you can find it, I'd like to see it.
Absolutely, because the one thing is that I know for myself is I accidentally wrote that I was the first one to interview you because I could not find any information because it was just, you know, I put Jane Elliott Canada and it didn't really give me much, right? I looked in the Wikipedia and everything.
You were the first one. I'm thinking the name was Walter something, maybe. I can't remember. I can't remember the name of the interviewer. But I was just amazed. Almost the first person that asked a question, a white woman, you should have known better. Stood up and said, don't you think you would do great psychological damage to a child by using that exercise with them for a day? That said, something to the effect of, well, if you're upset about that, you must be really unhappy about what happens to children of color. Well, I probably said color children in your environment. And she said, that's different than the truth that they take.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, and I have to say that, and what school was this done at?
It wasn't at a school, but CDC sent somebody to film the exercise.
Oh, they filmed the exercise.
It was October of 1968. And then, after it was shown on television, on like Sunday night, maybe, the place went crazy.
Yeah.
And so they called me to come up the next Saturday, must be 2 or 3 weeks later, to explain to the people in Canada what I had done to those poor little children in Iowa.
What?
And they were supposed to hand me with the last hour. And I think it lasted for about 3 minutes. I'm not sure if I did go on and on and on. Absolutely amazing.
Well, I have to say, you're a pretty nice person, I gotta say. It's just, I have to say that when you deliver the exercises, I know you have a no-nonsense approach, and I actually like that. You know what, I wish more teachers were like that. Like, you're empathetic, you're good to the students, you're kind. I even saw The Eye of the Storm, and I saw how courteous you were with the students, and I wish we had more teachers like you, but you were fair.
But you see, what I did with the students on the day of that exercise,
yeah.
It's what we do, we fair, loving teachers do, with children of color, every day in your country and mine.
Yeah.
But what I do with the exercise is create a microcosm of society in a group. And if it looks insane, it's because society is insane. To treat people positively or negatively on the basis of physical characteristics over which they have no control, and to do it for centuries and expecting different results, that is what alcoholics refer to as insanity. Doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results is insane. And that's what we're doing in your country and mine, where education is concerned.
Absolutely, and it's like it seems as though no matter how many lawsuits and stuff that have happened in this country as well, it seems like people just don't learn.
They choose not to learn.
Yeah.
Not that they can't, it's that they choose not to.
Yeah.
It's a choice we make.
Yeah.
We can choose to be fully functioning human beings and regard other human beings as fully functioning human beings.
Yeah.
Or we can continue to think that there are superior beings and inferior beings, and that status is determined by skin color. How ridiculous can that be? How much darker can we get?
See, I remembered one time I was taking a public transit bus, like I was taking a city bus, and I was saying that I don't like the way that people treat me, and I have no choice but to give an attitude or whatever. And you know what this one driver told me? She's like, everybody's got a choice. It's your choice on how to react.
The people running that system, the people sitting in that driver's seat, had a choice too. She had a choice.
Yeah.
She had a choice to expect people on that bus to not only pay the fare, but to behave in a fair way. There are fares and fares.
Yes.
But this is a public transit bus. Was that a public bus?
It was a public transit, yes. was granted a transit.
Taxpayers indirectly and paid out of taxpayer
funds. That's right, yes. But everybody who gets on
that bus has the right to expect equitable treatment under the law. That's in our constitution. It might not be in your constitution. The fact is in that bus company's bylaws.
Absolutely, and it's like
standards dictated by the company, and how that is one of the requirements for employment, which they just might disregard or ignore.
And I asked him, I remembered I interviewed Eric Gillespie from the Grand River Transit, and I asked him, and I mean, if you go on soundfm.ca, you'll see the interview that I had with the GRT director, Eric Gillespie, and I asked him if they actually do human rights training, like when it comes to the Ontario Human Rights Code, like the TTC, the Toronto Transit Commission, they expect all of their employees to have an interpretation of the Ontario Human Rights Code, and they give training on that. And the thing about... Sorry?
They do it once a year and they take the box.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I've had people from some corporations all over the country and many places call me and say, we need you to come to our place of business, to help our employees. And I say, and how long do you expect me to be there? Well, for half an hour, 45 minutes an hour max. And I say, you are going to solve
your included problems, your included problems, and I don't know what to hear.
Well, Mr. Dahlia, I guess we might not need you, and I say, yeah, you need me, but you don't want me.
You know what? Maybe I should convince our city councilors and stuff to bring you along for their training.
Yeah, oh, you could. But you see, you have to have a security officer on property at all times because I've been threatening death so often that it's just getting really quite ridiculous.
And I'm sorry to hear that. Nobody should ever do that.
I'm still here, yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry to hear that you lost your husband.
Well, I didn't lose
any
guys. That's not just moving that. So, anyway, let's get
more.
Okay, are we done?
Yes, I'm done. Thank you so much for coming on to my, talking with me on the show, and I will definitely air this interview today. Like, I'm just going to go ahead and process this and air it on, and I'm also just going to say that I guess I'm the second person to have interviewed you out of any Canadian television or radio newscast.
No, you aren't. You're about the 10th.
I'm actually the 10th? Okay, that's great. Then I will make sure that I'll update that.
Okay, that's fine. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. So there you have it. That was Jane Elliott. She is an anti-racism activist. And check out her interview. I am the 10th person to speak to her in regards to this. Have a great day.
There you have it. This was the interview with Jane Elliott. I did this interview on July 27, 2016, and it's already up on the Sound FM website. I just wanted to air this for our viewers that prefer to listen to the interview via my radio show. So what I will do here now is I will go ahead and I will play another song. The next song I'm going to play is Man Eater by Daryl Hall and John Oates.
It's a great song.
It is a great song. There you have it. That was Daryl Hall and John Oates, Man Eater. And that is a great song as well. The next song I'm going to play is Everybody Wants to Rule the World by Tears for Fears. That's 100.3 Sound FM, CKMS, Radio Waterloo.
Thank you.
So there you have it. That was Tears for Fears. Everybody Wants to Rule the World on 100.3 Sound FM, CKMS, Radio Waterloo. I am going to go ahead and I'm going to play the John McMahon wrote this song, Singing the Price is Right, theme song. He made up his own. So I'm going to go ahead and play that for our viewers on 100.3 Sound FM, CKMS, Radio Waterloo. I'm gonna be closing this in about 5 minutes anyways. So that was the Price is Right, Singing the Price is Right theme. That can be found on YouTube. It was done by John McMahon. You're listening to 100.3 Sound FM, CKMS Radio Waterloo. So now what I'm going to do here is for the last 5 minutes of my show, I'm just going to do some random talking about how to make our communities more better. And what I would recommend people to do is just always do the right thing. So for example, if someone is short on a bus fare, chip in. The other way that you can make your communities better is you can go ahead and hold the door for someone. You can go and clean up your neighborhood by picking up the litter. What one can do is one can let the elderly and people in wheelchairs go first on the buses. Also, another way that people can do kind things as well is go pay for someone's coffee, go spread inspirational messages around our community, go and just be a good citizen. Talk to someone that may be having a bad day. Introduce yourself to one new person every day. There's many more things that people can do to make our communities more better and safer as well. Other ways that you can make your communities better and safe as well is just getting to know your neighbors, as well as getting to know members of your other school community, like what the Waterloo Region Crime Prevention Council does and encourages as well. Now, on my next week's show, we're going to talk a little bit about how to identify and remove all sorts of racism and discrimination. Now, there is one quote that I did want to play at the end of the show, and it is by Morgan Freeman. And he says that how to eliminate racism is to stop talking about it. So this is 100.3 Sound FM, CKMS, Radio Waterloo. So there you have it. That was on Morgan Freeman on Black History Month. This was actually played on, I believe it was December 18, 2005, but it was around December 2005 that this interview was conducted by 60 Minutes. In fact, people can go and find this interview by going to Morgan Freeman on Black History Month. This was uploaded on February 1st, 2012 on YouTube by Young P. Fathers. Now, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to close off my show, and I just want to say thank you very much for everyone to tuning in to listen to my show today, and I just want to wish everyone a great day, and peace out, everyone. We will see you next week at 12 o'clock, and the Agriculture Show with Jeff Stagner will go ahead and play his first song. This is 100.3 Sound FM, CKMS Radio Waterloo. Jeff, do the honors.
Hi, this is Julie Palladino. I'm with FF Partners. You're listening to the Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.